this morning. It's good to see each and every one that's gathered out in the Lord's house and those that are visiting as well. And let me give you that special word of welcome to our online audience, wherever you are this morning listening in. I want to thank you for tuning into our service, and we do pray that the Lord will bless you and be with you. Do remember the services this after or this evening as they continue here in the house of the Lord at 7 p.m. and there will be the season of prayer from 6:30. And we do invite and encourage each one that is here this morning to return again this evening. And even if you can, make that effort to come and to pray here in the main church hall from 6:30 as well. It'll be good to see each one gathered in. We continue in our studies in the book of Acts, and we're continuing through chapter 17. And this evening we draw our attention to Paul's standing for the word of God there in the city of Athens. Then on Wednesday, can we mention to you for your prayers that, God willing, this month of September, it is our turn once again for the radio ministry with Let the Bible Speak on Radio Star every Wednesday afternoon in around 3 o'clock. And we do commend that to you for your prayers. We recorded the 5 messages, with it being a 5 Wednesday month. We recorded the 5 of them there just on Friday. And God willing, they'll be going out week by week over the month of September. So do remember to pray for them and pray that the Lord will bless them and use them even to reach the lost that tune in to that radio station. Then our midweek prayer meeting and Bible study will be at the normal time on Wednesday night at 8 p.m. and I'll be here, God willing, to conduct that service. And as always, we do look and encourage the young and old alike to make that effort to come and to study God's word and to seek the Lord in prayer here in the church. Thursday night, God willing, there will be a session and committee meeting here in the church. And can we say that it will be the session first at 7:30, and then all being well, the committee then 8:30, please. This Friday will be our presbytery for members of session, and it is online once again at 8 p.m. And brethren, the details have been sent to you. We remind you of that meeting. Then the service is next Sunday at the normal times of 11:30 and 7 p.m. with the seasons of prayer before both of the services, and in the will of the Lord, I'll be here to conduct those meetings. Can we also mention, on behalf of Consider Christ Outreach, that they're having and they're planning to have a night of prayer on Monday the 6th of September, and it's in our Oma congregation. It's open and welcome to all, and if you can get along to support and even to pray for the work of Consider Christ, then we encourage you to do so. Obviously, since COVID has hit, Consider Christ has been greatly curtailed. There's been none of the ploughing or the Balmoral show to do the outreach at. There's been no Consider Christ Saturdays where they've been down south, but they are certainly wanting to pray that the Lord will bless even the seed that's been sown in the years beforehand, and even praying that, God willing, this virus will be lifted, that we can return and they can return even to going down south once again on those outreach programs. So Monday the 6th of September, if you're free, to go along and to support in that season of prayer. Our congregation in Monieslane were having a drive-in mission from last Sunday. It was due to finish this evening, but they have extended it by one more week, that drive-in mission with Mr. Noel Shields and Mr. Colin Maxwell. And we do commend it to your prayers that the Lord will bless, and even in the second week, that souls will be saved. We're going to commence our worship now. We're turning to the hymn 261. The hymn 261. The page is 281. In times like these, you need a Saviour. In times like these, you need an anchor. Be very sure, be very sure your anchor holds and grips the solid rock. 261, please. Let's stand as we sing.
In times like these,
unite our hearts in prayer at this stage. And look to the Lord even for his blessing this morning. Let us be praying to that end, that the Lord will meet us and bless us in his house. Heavenly Father, we bow in thy most holy presence. We are so thankful for the rock Christ Jesus. We're thankful, O God, this day that each one that is saved can say that their anchor is fastened, their anchor is fixed to that rock. We do rejoice in the blessed assurance that we can have that Jesus is mine. Know what a foretaste of glory divine. We thank thee for the salvation which we have in Christ Jesus. We thank thee, O God, for the sacrifice that he made in our behalf. We thank thee, O God, the appeasement and even the turning away of God's wrath. We do rejoice that when God's wrath has been turned away, that we have peace with him. We thank thee for our advocate there in heaven. We thank thee, O God, that not only is in heaven, but indeed he is Emmanuel. He is God with us. We thank thee for his presence with us. We thank thee, O God, that each one that is saved can testify and can rejoice that the Lord never leaves and the Lord never forsakes. And, O Father, even as we gather to thy house this day, may we know with that assurance that the Lord is here. May we know with that assurance that the Lord is in the midst. We do rejoice in the promise where two or three are gathered together in thy name, that thou hast promised to be right there in the midst. And Father, even as we are gathered here, we're gathered here to worship thee. We're gathered here to praise thee. We're gathered here even, O God, to hear a message from thee. And Lord, we do pray to that end that thou wilt bless this time in thy house, that thou wilt bless each and every one that is here, that thou wilt undertake for them, that thou, O God, wilt even encourage them and speak to them through thy word this day. Lord, that thou wilt minister to hearts, to young and old alike. O God, thou knowest the need. Thou art the one who is able to look past the skin, to look past, O God, even the body, and to look into the very depths of the heart and the very depths of the soul. O Father, search us this day. Search each and every one, O God. And may this day, even this day, O God, we pray thee, may souls be dealt with. May lives, O God, be gloriously changed and transformed by the power of the gospel. We do pray that each and every one will be able to leave here this day, even testifying with the words of the hymn that we've just sang, that I'm very sure my anchor holds and grips the solid rock. Oh, may that be the testimony of each one that is here. May that be the testimony of each one that is listening online, that Christ is their Savior, that Christ is their rock. Father, bless every family connected with this church, we pray thee. O God, minister to every need at this time. Thou knowest, O God, those that are unable to join with us. Thou knowest those that are away at this time. Lord, even give them that season of rest over this weekend. We think even of the busyness of the month of September as schools return, as individuals return to their workplace. Young people begin their studies once again. We pray for each one that thou wilt bless and undertake for them, that thou wilt keep thy hand upon our children, upon our young people. Upon, O God, those that are heading to university, watch over thy children. Lord, we do pray that they will be shining lights in their schools and the universities and the tech. O God, that they will be shining lights for Jesus Christ. Lord, give them that boldness. Give them that desire, O God, and that steadfastness even to stand for thee. Lord, to stand for thy word. We realize the day in which we live is dark. We realize the difficulties that young people even have to face. Lord, even in their school places and in their workplaces, oh, that thou wilt enable them to remain true to thee and true to the book. Lord, remember each one. Remember those in our congregation that are sick. Remember, O God, those at this time. Touch them at the very point of their need and raise them to full strength once again, we ask thee. Remember for our elderly. We think again of them. We pray that thou wilt bless them and be unto them all that they would need. May thy presence be that reality to them each and every day of their lives. Lord, remember our land. O Father, we spread it before thee again. We pray that thou wilt have mercy upon it. We pray, O God, in these darkened days that thou wilt shine the light of the gospel. O God, shine it across this land. Shine it in every county, in every city, in every town, in every village. Over the light of the gospel, that power of God unto salvation. Over it to be shining brightly once again. We think of the efforts that are being made in these days in the gospel. We do pray afresh for that drive-in mission. Lord, even as it enters the second week, that thou wilt bless it. That thou wilt bless thy servants. We think of the children's clubs that are continuing even around this land. We think of our children's evangelists. We think, O God, of individuals, of students that are taking children's meetings. And Lord, ministers and Sunday school teachers and children's workers. Lord, that thou wilt bless. And even the children that are reached with the gospel, that thou wilt save them. O God, and that thou wilt draw them unto thyself. Lord, remember even our mission that is planned for September. O Father, we pray just that thou wilt rule and overrule. That thou wilt be in control of all things. We pray for the one that is tasked with the preaching of the gospel. Lord, even meet with him and minister to him. And even as the invitations will go out, Lord, that thou wilt bless them. That they will not simply be cast to the side, O God, but rather that thou wilt stir hearts. Give them that hunger and that thirst, that desire to hear the gospel. That desire to turn away from self, to turn away from custom, to turn away from ritual. And to come under the sound of the gospel. And to come to Jesus Christ. Father, how we need revival. How we need this spiritual awakening in our land once again. Oh, that thou wilt open the windows of heaven. That thou wilt pour out thy blessing. And give us those showers. Give us those waters to swim in. Oh, Father, hear our prayers this day. Meet with us in this house. Remember all of our congregations. We do think of our brother Baker as he commences his ministry there in Newton Arch today. Bless him. Encourage him and encourage that congregation. Even give him souls this day in his very first Lord's Day in that congregation. Seal that call even with salvation, we pray thee. And glorify thy Son even through that church and through that ministry. Oh, hear and answer our prayers in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We're turning to the Psalm 111. This morning, Psalm 111. Coming into a brief little section within the Psalms, the Hallelujah Psalms once again. You'll notice Psalm 111, 112 and 113 all begin with the words, Praise ye the Lord. Or in the Hebrew it is Hallelujah. And we're certainly endeavouring each and every Lord's Day and each and every opportunity that we have as we gather to this house that we come to worship. And indeed we come to praise the Lord. Psalm 111, and we'll read the psalm together. Praise ye the Lord. I will praise the Lord with my whole heart in the assembly of the upright and in the congregation. The works of the Lord are great, sought out of all them that have pleasure therein. His work is honourable and glorious, and his righteousness endureth forever. He hath made his wonderful works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion. He hath given meat unto them that fear him. He will ever be mindful of his covenant. He hath showed his people the power of his works, that he may give them the heritage of the heathen. The works of his hands are verity and judgment. All his commandments are sure. They stand fast forever and ever, and are done in truth and uprightness. He sent redemption unto his people. He hath commanded his covenant forever. Holy and reverend is his name. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do his commandments. His praise endureth forever. Amen. And may the Lord bless that wonderful psalm indeed to all of our hearts. 293. I want to sing together at this stage the hymn 293. The page is 294. I must needs go home by the way of the cross. There's no other way but this. I shall ne'er get sight of the gates of light if the way of the cross I miss. 293, please. Thank you. invite you to open your Bibles in the Gospel of Matthew. The Gospel of Matthew in the chapter 7. Spent 5 weeks looking at the reality of hell. Now we want to move on to consider for a number of weeks the royalty of heaven. And so we just want to read two verses this morning from Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 and 14. The Word of God says, and this is the Lord preaching in the Sermon on the Mount. He says, "Enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because strait is the gate, narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." Amen. And may the Lord bless those verses to our hearts. I want to consider with you this morning the pathway to heaven. The pathway to heaven. Let's have a moment's prayer, please. And encourage each and every one to be praying that the Lord will speak to your heart, even through his word this morning. Heavenly Father, we do thank and praise thee for the cross of Jesus Christ. We thank thee it's at the cross that sins are dealt with. It's at the cross where repentance is made, and that punishment, that penalty of death is removed. We do pray, O God, this day, that each and every one will have been to the cross. That each and every one this day afresh will see the cross, even as we preach this message. As we come to look even at the pathway to heaven. Oh, that thou wilt come and minister through thy word. Speak to every heart. Empty us of self and of sin, and fill us with thy spirit. In Jesus' name. Amen. There was a minister on one occasion who was quarantining in his house due to his child having diphtheria. Living right next door to the church, he had booked another minister to come and to preach for him. And as it came to the time of the service, he was looking out of his window and he could look across and he could see the church. He could see all of the lights on in the building, and he could see that the door was open, and he watched as individuals started to come to the church building, whether it be by walking or whether it be by driving, and they all made their way into the service. And after a few moments, as the time came for the commencement of the service, he looked and he saw as the door was closed. But of course, even as the door was closed, yet he knew they were all inside and the service started. He could hear the music playing and then he could hear the congregation beginning to sing. At last, he couldn't stand it anymore. Even though he was supposed to be isolating, he crept out. He knew everyone was in the building and he crept out of his house and he crept across the lawn. And he came to the side of the church, to the window. Of course, no one could see him at the window, but there he was at the window and he's listening and he could hear all that was going on inside. He could hear the singing of the hymns. He could hear the reading of God's word. And of course, all of the lights, and he knew all of the people that were in the congregation. You know, it was all bright. He knew everybody inside was warm, comfortable. Outside, the preacher, he's standing alone in the darkness. He said, "For the first time in my life, I realized what it meant to be shut out. For the first time in my life, I realized how terrible it was, how lonely it was to be on the outside." And there in that moment, as the preacher was standing outside of his own church, he realized what it must be like for this sinner to be shut out of heaven. For everyone to make their way in, to everyone to go into heaven, and yet for this sinner to be on the outside. What an awful eternity it must be for them. You know, many people in this world, and I believe the vast majority of people within the world, believe in a place called heaven. Many hope to go there whenever they pass from this scene of time. Indeed, you go and you look into the various religions of the world, and the vast majority of them will all say there is a heaven at the end of the journey. But of course, whenever you dig into the spiritual beliefs, that's when you start to see, and that's where the fallout begins. That's where the differences in opinion come of how an individual gets to heaven, of which individuals will be in heaven. You know, whenever we come to the Sermon on the Mount here in Matthew 5 through to the end of Matthew 7, the Lord Jesus, in the midst of his message, he produces and he preaches these two verses. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. Many there be which go in thereat. Straight is the gate, narrow is the way which leadeth unto life. Few there be that find it. You know, these words are very clear. These words are very categorical. Indeed, some Bible commentators and some preachers state that these words are the most shocking words that Christ ever preached. These are the most shocking words that Christ ever spoke to society and spoke in the ears of men and of women. Because here within these verses, he is highlighting many people go to hell, but few go to heaven. And remember, this is the eternal Son of God. This is the God of very God. With all of the omniscience, all of the all-knowing, God knows everything. The Son of God knows everything. And if the Son of God is saying, and of course as he knows everything, there is nothing outside of his knowledge. If God knows everything, and God here is saying, many are on the broad road heading to hell, and many will end in destruction, and only few are on the narrow road going in at the straight gate. My, what words they are that we need to take notice of even within our own lives. Those words ought to make us sit up and to think and to even assure ourselves to look into our salvation, to look into our faith, to look into our standing. Even as we sang that opening hymn, that we are very sure that our anchor holds and it grips the solid rock. You know, each one of us is on a journey. So often it's said of the Christian, it's not our final home, this world. This earth isn't our final home. This isn't our final destined place. We are destination. We are just passing through. That can likewise be said of the sinner. This is not the final destination. This is not it for the unsaved either. Earth is not the home for the unsaved, just as it's not for the saved. The final destination, as we've looked at over the weeks, for the unsaved is that place called hell. We will end up in one of those two destinations. It will either be heaven with the Lord, or be hell without him. No, as Christ terms him, he terms him as being heaven is life, or hell is destruction. And even as we look into these verses this morning, as we see in these verses, the Lord Jesus Christ, yes, he makes that startling statement. He says there are many that are going to hell. But he also points the way. He points us, he shows us the pathway. This is how you get to heaven. I want to leave two things with you this morning in this message. I want you to see, firstly, the realization that is needed. The realization that is needed. The Lord Jesus, in the verse 13, he says, enter ye in at the straight gate. For wide is the gate, broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. Now here is something that needs to be realized by each and by every individual. You're not guaranteed heaven. Just because you're alive does not guarantee you heaven. Just because you're here does not guarantee you heaven. Just because of your background, just because of your family, just because of where you live, does not guarantee you heaven. Verse 13 begins with a command. It's not even an encouragement, it's not a suggestion, it's a command. Enter ye in at the straight gate. That declaration, that command is being made very clearly. You're on the wrong path. You're heading to the wrong place. Right now, as you journey through this life, if you're still in your sins, you're on the wrong path, you're going to the wrong gate, you're going to end up in the wrong destination. And sadly, in this world, even as the Lord highlights in this verse, there are many that this realization applies to. There are many that need to understand this even as they journey through this life. They're on that broad road. They're on the wrong track. They're heading to the wrong gate. The gate is wide. The way is broad. The Lord says, many there be that go in thereat. See, my friend, this morning, don't base your thoughts of your spiritual destination upon statistics. You look at what is being said there in these verses. It says, wide is the gate, broad is the way, and many there be that go in thereat. You may look round. You may think to yourself, I'm with the majority. I'm with the crowd. I'm with the many. They're all on this road together. Surely the statistics are on my side. Surely the data is on my side. I have the majority. I have the many. We can't all be wrong. Spiritual matters are not decided by statistics or by a majority. The majority certainly are not always right. You want an example of that? I'll give you the best example of all. What about the majority in Jerusalem? Whenever they crowded around the judgment hall of Pilate. What about the majority that were there at those steps and the Son of God is brought forth, beaten and bruised? And the majority all cried out together, crucify him. Take him away, be gone with him. And at the minority, Pilate standing there, he's saying, I find no fault with him. That one known voice is speaking up. His disciples had all abandoned him in Gethsemane. Pilate standing there himself, and Pilate can say, I can't find a fault. There's nothing to condemn him. There's nothing to punish him by. There's nothing to even place that guilty verdict upon him. But the majority said, crucify him. Was the majority right? Of course not. They took the innocent one. They took the perfect Son of God. And they nailed him to a tree. My friend, don't base your beliefs upon statistics. Don't follow the crowd. Not only don't follow the crowd, but don't follow custom. Isn't that what Paul or Saul of Tarsus was doing in his life? Saul of Tarsus was following the customs. Saul of Tarsus was following exactly what everyone had said before him, exactly what he had been taught. He was following the customs and the traditions of Torah. He was following after the teachings of the Pharisees. He had sat at the feet of Gamaliel and he had been taught by the greatest teacher in Jerusalem. He could say of himself, I thought I was a servant of God. I was of the tribe of Benjamin. I was an Hebrew of the Hebrews. I was circumcised the eighth day. I was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. I knew the Old Testament scriptures. I followed the customs. I followed the traditions. But he was on the broad road heading to hell. Indeed, he was on a literal road heading to Damascus whenever the Lord came and stopped him in his very tracks. And that moment, as that bright light shone at noonday upon Saul of Tarsus, and as the voice of God came forward, here was Saul's understanding. Here was Saul's realization. I'm heading to hell. What I thought and belief and what I had been taught all of these years, it's all taking me to hell. Don't follow the crowds. Don't follow the customs. Don't follow your own character. Don't believe in self. We live more and more in days, of course, whenever the opinion of self is all that's important. We live in days whenever the opinion of self has been greatly inflated and you're encouraged, big up yourself, talk about yourself. Even you think of it, you're going for a job, fill out your CV and tell the person how great you are just so you get a job. Really let them know. Really sell it to them. Make it look as appealing as if they really can't do without you. You're just the greatest person. So many in our land, even to this day, they believe themselves good. Believe themselves acceptable. Believe yourself worthy. Believe yourself in the better side of society. You're above average, you're in the top half, you're heading in the right direction, surely. My Nebuchadnezzar certainly thought that of himself. He put himself on a great pedestal. He was over the greatest empire there's ever been. He was the golden head in terms of the dream. He built himself the great statue there. He made everyone come and bow down to it. Then he came out that day after. And what did he do? He looked around his kingdom and he thought, my, what a great king I am. What a great emperor I am. Everything, all of the beauty of Babylon, all of the power, the riches of Babylon, it's all because of me. Surely I'll get to heaven. I'm great. Yet God had to bring him so low. He spent those 7 years in a field, living like an animal. And what does it tell us at the end of the 7 years? He looked up and he confessed the Lord to be the God of heaven and of earth. My friend, this morning you need to realize where you're going. You need to realize the track that you're on. Doesn't matter how many are there beside you. It doesn't matter if you're saying this morning, oh, I've got all of my friends, I've got all of my family. We're all in agreement this morning. We're all going the same path this morning. We're all believing that it's just down to church attendance, or it's just down to good living, and it's just down to the self, and it's down to the importance of self. Crowds, customs, character. All leads straight down the broad way. Through the wide gate. Straight to destruction. There is a realization that needs to be made. But secondly, also, there is a repentance that needs to be made. A repentance that needs to be made. You see, realizing that you're on the wrong path is not enough to spare you from destruction. The Lord here in this verse 13, he highlights, he says, enter in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. Many there be which go in thereat. He doesn't just leave them on the broad road. He doesn't just leave them at the wide gate. He says to them, no, look again. Because then the verse 14, he says, straight is the gate, narrow is the way which leadeth unto life. See, just driving down the wrong road, just going down the wrong road, and realizing you're heading in the wrong direction, if you just realize it, then you just carry on. Well, you're still heading in the wrong direction, aren't you? During the summer, whenever we were off, there were times we were over in England, in Scotland, and driving. And sometimes it happens even over here. I go down the wrong road. And one of the problems is I never find a nice wee place just to pull in to do a U-turn. I keep going down the wrong road. I'm looking for this massive big lay-by or something. But until eventually I turn round, until eventually I correct it, I'm still heading in the wrong direction. It doesn't matter that I know in my head I'm adding journey, I'm adding miles, I'm adding time to our journey. I'm still going the wrong direction. And if we don't turn, if you don't turn in your life, you still head on the wrong journey. See, what is repentance? We talk about the repentance that's needed. What is repentance? Repentance is turning. It's a complete 180. It's not just a wee slight detour off to the left or off to the right. It's a complete turnaround saying, I am no longer going this direction. I am no longer traveling on this path. I must and I will turn. Not enough just to hear a preacher tell you you're on the broad or the broad way and you're heading for the wide gate. It's not enough just to know it in your head. It's not enough just to say, yes, the preacher told me, he warned me and I accepted. Yes, the crowd is here. The people are many. We're all heading. It's a wide, wide place. We're going down. It's a broad way. We're all going down it together. That's not enough just to realize it. There must be a turning. And thank God the Lord is the one who knows the way. The Lord is the one who shows us the way. The Lord is the one who is the way. Because that's what the Lord says even of himself. I am the way. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. In other words, there's only one way. There's only one pathway to heaven. There's only one. And it's Jesus Christ. And that beginning of that journey, that beginning of that turning, the beginning of repentance, where does it take you straight away? It takes you to Christ. It takes you to the cross. Isn't that the second hymn we sang this morning? The way of the cross leads home. The way of the cross leads home. You see, you'll notice even as you think about it, there's a wide gate and there's a narrow gate. Very interesting whenever you dig into that wide and the narrow. Because I say you have to go straight to the cross. Why? Because you have to have your sins dealt with. You have to turn from everything. It must be that change of course. There must also be a change of company. See, to follow Christ to glory, you must come to the cross. You must leave the broad road behind. That means leaving who's ever on the broad road. If they won't come with you, that means you're leaving them behind. You see, the Lord highlights it. He shows it here. There is a broad road and there is a narrow road. And only the narrow road leads to heaven. Only the narrow road leads to life. So you must leave the broad. You must leave the crowds. You must come to Him. Sometimes that even means it can be leaving a family. It can be leaving a friends. Might mean the whole change in terms of who your friends are. Your friends may turn their back on you because you're turning your back on the broad road. You're turning your back on that life. Family and friends refuse to leave the broad road. And in order for you to come to heaven, to enter in at the narrow gate, it can mean, humanly speaking, of making that journey alone. It can mean that journey is there and it's just you. You make that journey alone to church. You make that journey alone in terms of through life and your study of the Bible and your private times with the Lord. There's none of your family to read and to pray with. But thank God, though friends may forsake and family may turn, Christ provides the greatest company. He becomes even closer than a brother. He's the one who's promised never to leave, never to forsake. There must be a change of course. There must be a change of company. There must be a change of circumstances. See, I believe that here, even as the Lord is speaking, he says, wide or straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life. Few there be that find it. I believe it's very telling that the Lord says the gate straight, narrow is the way. The word for straight here, simply another way of saying narrow. What the Lord is really trying to get at, what the Lord is really producing and speaking to all that were there, as He's narrowing it down, He's showing them, this is a narrow entrance. You don't bring your baggage. You don't bring all of the lusts and all of the worldly pleasures with you. You don't bring all of the material possessions with you. You don't bring all of the material desires with you. You cast all of those things behind you. You cast them all off. You don't walk in saying, I'm bringing all that I have with me. Isn't that what was really spoken of in Luke 18? Verses 18 to 30, it gives the account of the rich young ruler. He came and he asked the Lord for direction to heaven. He says, good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He was rich. He had the money. He had the power because he was a ruler. He was one of importance within society. You know the account, I'm sure. He claims, the Lord says about keeping the commandments, he claims to have kept all of the commandments from you. And in verse 22, the Lord responds, yet lackest thou one thing, sell all that thou hast, distribute unto the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. In other words, get rid of the baggage. You're not going to fit through the door with all of the baggage. Get rid of the money. Get rid of the materials. Get rid of that love for money. Get rid of the love for material things. Get rid of all of the lusts of the worldly pleasures. My friend, to enter in at the straight gate in the narrow way, you need to come just as you are. You don't come carrying and saying to the Lord, Lord, look what I'm bringing you. You need to come just as you are. There has to be that change in circumstances. I think of that picture and that simple detail that's given in the conversion of Bartimaeus there outside of Jericho. Whenever the Lord called him, what does it say of Jericho? He cast, or what does it say of Bartimaeus outside Jericho? He cast off his cloak and he came to the Lord. Yes, he physically cast off his cloak. He left behind that raiment that held him down. But spiritually he was casting off. He says, I don't need anything else. I need Christ. Doesn't matter what size of bank account I can make. It doesn't matter the wealth. It doesn't matter the pleasures of the world. I don't need any of it. I need Christ. My friend, to get through the narrow gate, to get up that narrow way which leads to eternal life, you need to cast off everything. You need to come to Christ. Now, I believe another great picture of it is found in the dying thief. One moment he's upon the cross and he's all that baggage of sin and baggage of rebellion. Is that baggage of hatred even there weighing him down? He's casting the same in the Lord's teeth. He's mocking. He's ridiculing the Lord. He's angry at being crucified. He's all of those baggage in terms of all of the different hate and all of the different sins within his life. Next minute, as the Spirit of God opens his eyes and opens his heart, he looks upon the Lord. He says, Lord, remember me. That's all he says. Remember me and I enter into thy kingdom. He doesn't offer anything. He doesn't bring anything. He's cast it all off. All of the anger's gone. All of the hatred's gone. All of the malice is gone. All of the envy, everything, it's all gone. What is the Lord able to say today? Thou shalt be with me in paradise. Why? You've repented. The baggage is off. Now you can enter in at the straight gate. One final thing I want to highlight. Change in the crowd. Change in the circumstances, the culture. It must be a change of comfort. must be a change of comfort. See, when you're in a broad road, you don't need to do anything. You don't need to change anything. You're making your way down the broad road. You're with the crowd. Just go with the flow. Just accept whatever. Do whatever. You don't need to change anything. Just carry on with all of the crowd going to hell and not death march. Just sit at ease in the world. You know, that kind of life, that kind of comfort sounds appealing to so many, doesn't it? They want an easier life as possible. As comfortable as life as possible. As happy as life in terms of the pleasures of this world, just to get as much enjoyment, as much experiences in this world. So appealing. But yet, it leads to destruction. The Lord here, he says, enter in at the straight gate. Because straight is the gate, narrow is the way that leadeth unto life. Few there be that find it. You know, over in Luke 13, the verse 24, the Lord Jesus is speaking. It's the same account that's given. Over there, he says, strive to enter in at the straight gate. Strive to enter. You know that word for strive? In the Greek, it means to agonize. Agonize to enter in at the straight gate. That word, agonize, contend, what is it saying? You need to give your all. You need to give your heart. See, that's the first thing the Lord demands of us whenever we come in repentance and faith. My son, give me thy heart. That heart that was full of love and lust for all of the worldly pleasures, the Lord demands it. Give me your heart. Give your all unto the Lord. Yes, it's not an easy road to walk. I'm not standing here saying, become a Christian. Come to Jesus, because then you'll have the most wonderful life in terms of ease and in terms of comforts. It's not an easy road. But it's the best road. It's not an easy road. But the Lord walks with us on it. See, when you move from the broad road to the narrow, you're leaving the world in terms of its company and its crowd, and you're coming to Christ. And when you come to Christ, Christ walks the road with you. And it leads to Him, eternal life. You walk along the narrow way. Lord Jesus gives you His rod and His staff to comfort us, to bring us home. You walk the narrow way, you have the Word of God to be a lamp unto the feet, to keep your feet sure upon the walk and off that road. That leads to life. There's only one pathway to heaven. It's narrow. As I said, it can be lonely. My friend, young and old alike, it is the only road that leads to home. We've looked over the weeks at hell, and the awful, awful place that it is. You look at those words again, you think of everything we've considered over these weeks in terms of hell. The Lord says, many Many are on that road. My friend, this morning, be very sure that you're not one of them. Be very sure this morning that you're not with the crowd, but rather that you're with the Savior. Have you repented of your sins? Have you come in faith to Christ? And He can save you from all of your sins. That His death upon the cross is enough. It's all you need for your sins to be dealt with. It was that one death, that one sacrifice for sin. Do you believe in Him today? You believe if your faith is in the Lord, having turned from your sins, I can say with that blessed assurance, Jesus is yours. And through Him, you will enter into heaven. You will be with His Father. Through Him and by Him, you're on the right path that leads to life. Oh, my friend, today be sure, be very sure that your anchor holds and it grips the solid rock, Christ Jesus. Let's have a word of prayer as we close. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for Thy word. We thank Thee, O God, even for the warning there be within it. We consider, O God, the many that are on the broad road that leads to destruction. O Father, we pray for each one that is before us this day, young and old alike. We pray, O God, for each one that has listened online as well, wherever they be, that they will have that blessed assurance that they are on the right path. That they have turned their backs, turned their hearts away from sin. They've turned their eyes upon Jesus. O Father, write Thy word upon our hearts. And take us to our homes in safety. Bring us again this night, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen.